Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves. I'll start.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
Will you stop your damn sniveling, son? Buck up, Bart. Buck up!
On ESPN Sports Radio 1080, The Fan.
Hey, happy Sunday morning, everybody.
Happy Sunday, indeed. Lots of good convo going on in here, man.
Yeah, we do have some good convo going on in here. You know what we're going to do for the show today?
Sports?
No.
Oh.
2 hours of royal wedding talk, baby.
Oh, I'm with it, man. Let's go.
You want to talk?
Prince Harry. Harry, is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was going to pretend like I don't know. I didn't watch anything.
You definitely watched a lot of it with your wife. I guarantee you guys did.
No. Again, sleeping better than 3 a.m. watching a royal wedding in a different country that I don't care about. Oh, God. Jesse made that noise. Did Marie make you watch it at the
end
of the morning?
No. It's just how much.
It's on.
Luckily, Marie doesn't watch that kind of stuff.
I don't know. That tone of voice that you just came across the microphone there?
It mostly has to do with how much it's been in radio. Like, it's been in sports radio. Like, come on.
Yeah, has he ever shot a jumper or, like, hit a cricket ball? Or
like, literally, there was a conversation on Dan Patrick about, would you rather be Prince, who is it, Harry?
Yes.
Or would you rather be Russell Wilson?
Prince Harry.
Russell Wilson. Have you seen Sierra?
So this is where it was. Everybody was like, Russell Wilson.
No, Harry has an entire life of literally no worries in terms of, like, money or anything like that.
So Russell Wilson's going to live in Seattle for the rest of his life, and, you know, he's going to be NFL royalty, especially if he wins another one.
Russell Wilson actually, I guess technically, they had somebody from England on during this conversation who said he has about $17 million in the bank. Russell Wilson has more than $17 million in the bank. So Russell Wilson's already rolling better, wads of cash than this prince over here. I think I'd rather be Russell Wilson.
He's worth $17 million?
Okay. Can we stop? Yes. I was literally kidding. I don't want to talk about the royal wedding. Because I'm going to get sucked into this conversation. And
that brings up a whole different type of thing. Like, man, who would you rather be? It's like, man, would you rather be a prince of a whole country? Or would you rather be like LeBron James? Or maybe not LeBron, but, I mean, Steph Curry. Aisha's kind of fresh, too. So I'd probably be Steph. And
look, here, I don't want to get stuck.
You don't have to talk about the wedding.
The best reason that the person from England could say as far as you should want to be Harry over Russell Wilson was he gets to live in a palace. Russell Wilson could buy himself a palace if he wanted.
I don't think that's true, though. I think the benefit to being Harry, maybe it's the detriment, to be honest, but the benefit in his eyes is since he was born, he has wanted for nothing. He has had literally everything he could have. He has been considered the most amazing person or one of the most amazing people in England by, I'm assuming, some people, maybe not everybody. And for the rest of his life, he will be considered royalty. Russell Wilson did not grow up royalty, right? Russell Wilson grew up a regular guy. He had to fight his way through the NFL, college football. He chose a couple of different sports. He picked the right one for him. Now he got the hot girl. Right now he's royalty. Now Russell Wilson's amazing. But in 15 years, when his brain is mush because he's playing in the NFL, is Russell Wilson royalty anymore?
Yep. I don't think Russell will. He's smart enough to not let his brain get mush.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have the mush brain.
We had somebody text in, which is awesome. LeBron's already the Prince of Canada. So
they named a city after him, LeBron.
LeBron is actually the king. he's King James. Literally, that's, I mean, we've all dubbed him King James. Like, we've made him our sports king. So, I,
yes, this text is why my agreement. This is stupid. Royalty is rich. They don't have to do anything. Anyone in America has to work.
Yeah, but have you ever seen what a, like, you have to live a certain way as a kid. You have to act a certain way. You have to live to a certain standard. You have to, like, reach certain feats as a, so I you've mean, gotta as go a regular
to
some, kid.
So you've got to go to some grooming classes, and you've got to learn how to walk with a book on your head and, you know, sip your tea with your pinky.
That's a great point, though. He's never had to work. All he has to do is not cool. Be handsome, walk around, and
not cool.
Know some manners.
How boring would that be, like, forever, though?
That's what I'm saying.
To,
like,
to be handsome and walk around, yeah. Let me tell you from experience, from personal experience, yeah. No, I can imagine. No, absolutely no. I kid. No, but I mean, I can imagine, like, it'd be, you know, fun being a prince, you know, but at the same time, like, man, boo. Like, there's nothing to do all day. Literally, I'd go crazy. Like, whenever I'm off work for, like, a day, I'm like, okay, I need something to do.
Ooh, I love
it. Like, my son is at school, and I'm like, bro, this isn't fun. Dude, I have to do something.
Vacations, baby. Let's go.
Nah, man. I can only watch so much Maury or Judge shows before I'm like,
why
are
you watching the crappy TV?
Well, because Maury is awesome. What are you talking about? It's so funny. They're never the father. And they never make it to the couch when they start crying. It's hilarious.
This is the one thing the one argument, and this is going to be such an American weird thing to come out of my mouth because it kind of sounds like a little right wing. But what I love about the Russell Wilson over Prince Charles is Russell Wilson is the literal definition of manifest destiny, which is that is the backbone of the foundation of our nation is you are able to manifest your destiny. You're able to come from nothing and create something great.
You could have also chose a little more likable quarterback. Like, I think people like Russell Wilson, but for the most part, I think a lot of people.
Well, they don't like really. It's the same reason they didn't like Tebow. It's the religious aspect. Otherwise, it's one of the
no,
most.
No, it's not the religious aspect.
It's the fake.
It's the he's really rehearsed. This is almost a Brady, you know, type of response to where, like, you wrote this down. You knew the questions before you were coming in.
Yeah, it's the fact that everything he says is rehearsed. That's why I don't like Russell Wilson. I'd like to hear some real Russell Wilson, but I'm not sure if I ever will. All right, I'm stopping this now. I'm nipping this in the bud. We are not talking about the royal wedding. Come back from all the other radio stations you flipped to. We will have plenty of sports on the show today. Don't worry. I just wanted to start with a royal wedding joke. I just wanted to throw it out there, and it turned into that.
I like that.
Thanks, Jesse.
You're welcome.
Text the fan text line at 55305. Find us on Twitter at 1080 the fan, at Mike Lynch 27, at TaylorMade503, and Jesse's at Jesse Osman, AZMAN. This is Sports Sunday, so we will talk about plenty of sports coming up on the show today. NBA playoffs into the conference finals in full swing. It's very, very funny how the narrative changes in an NBA playoff series based off of one game. It's happened twice now in the Warriors-Rockets series, and it just happened last night in the Celtics-Cavs series. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what narrative you should truly believe or what we truly believe. That's all coming up here in the first hour. I also want to spend some time getting into the Supreme Court's decision to legalize sports gambling, essentially. Leave it up to the states. Say, hey, you decide whether or not you want to legalize sports gambling. This is a massive decision that overturned a 27-year-old law. That's not correct, probably, but close to that. And they basically said, look, you do you, boo-boo. You go figure it out yourselves. New Jersey's already ready to go. They've already got their first sports book ready to go in Monmouth Park. I've been there, by the way. It's really nice. Not the sports book, but the actual horse racing track. Oregon, we had a guy on primetime this week. Oregon may be one of the first states to do this because they were grandfathered in with sports action and only stopped doing it because of the NCAA. So we got all sorts of stuff to talk about with that coming up in the second hour. Anything else you wanted to bring up today, Rashad? Anything else on your mind? That was all I had, but I figured we could go with that.
I don't know. I don't think so. It's been relatively outside of the playoffs, which there's been like, what, two games this week?
Yeah.
Three games.
You want to talk about Vegas in the NHL? How an expansion team is one win away from making the Stanley Cup final?
Isn't that dope, man? Yeah, we can.
I'm not rooting for them, so it's not dope. Why? I mean, it's cool, but it's not.
He doesn't like their style of play. Oh. It's boring.
Well, that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that
they haven't had to deal with pain or strife. That's a
second. Thanks for listening to Primetime, Jesse. Appreciate it. We talked about this on Thursday.
What do you mean?
And the fact that they tried to lose and then they're still winning. It frustrates me as an NHL fan of a team that lost miserably for the last 4 years and had to build their way back up to being into the playoffs.
Oh, boo-hoo, be better, right? Be better faster. Like,
so maybe we will talk about that. I can have feelings too, okay?
Ooh,
I can feel okay. Live. I can be, let them live. They are living. They're a game away from the Stanley Cup.
Exactly. Let's go Vegas, other hometown.
55305 is the text line. Coming up next, though, we will go to the NBA playoffs. Well, let's start with last night's game and the series, more of the series than the game last night. Celtics now up 2-1 on the Cavs after LeBron and his teammates showed up and won in big fashion. Did that change the way you feel about this series? This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That was a short break. Probably good. Jesse was just congratulating me for getting us out on time and then predicting that I wouldn't for the rest of the show, which is probably true. But also, if we have short breaks, maybe I will get out on time. Maybe that's Jesse's plan.
I don't like this song because Drake never started from the bottom.
No.
He started from the middle.
He started from the upper middle.
Yeah, like he was on Degrassi for like 13 years. Yeah. He's Wheelchair Jimmy. You can't make me forget.
I also don't like Drake, so it's fine.
Drake is, when he's rapping, he's dope. When he's singing to me, he makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's fine. He's funny in like when he's at Raptors games and they're all the memes. That's funny.
Yeah, Drake, he's so cute because he really thinks that he can. Drake's not a big guy either. He's maybe 5'10".
Is he small?
So for him to act like he's swelling up on, who was it, Kendrick Perkins? Stop it.
So the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Celtics yesterday in game 3 of the series to go down 2-1 to Boston, 116-86 the score, an absolute blowout by Cleveland. What's interesting about the game yesterday to me is LeBron didn't necessarily LeBron it. He didn't go for 50 and just carry the game on his back that way. He LeBroned it by being a point guard. He LeBroned it by getting his teammates involved. Because here's the problem. In games 1 and 2, LeBron was doing everything. Literally everything. And nobody else could hit a shot. Nobody else was getting involved. This game goes for 27. Good game. Not LeBron good, but good game. But 12 assists. And the entire starting lineup got double-digit points, as did Kyle Korver off the bench, who had all 4 threes. I wonder who made that decision. LeBron went, hey, this isn't working. I need to get my teammates involved. Bam. They won the game by 20. So, or 30, actually.
A lot.
So, I would say it was one of the smarter dominating performances by LeBron that we've seen in a long time. Knowing what needed to be done because the Celtics were too good for him just to go for 48 and still lose every single game.
It was finally a game where at least some of the other guys showed up a little bit. The past 2 games, it's been LeBron versus everyone else. But, man, certain guys have been, like Kevin Love, the last game, you know, he had 22 and 15. So he tried to help, and it just wasn't enough. But I think it was J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, and Hill combined for like 14 points. That's terrible. You're not going to win anything. And so it's been this dude really carrying this team on his back, which kind of shows you his greatness because even still, like, he had 41 in that first game and was just dominant, and they still lost. Womp womp. There's really nothing you can do when you're really leading a team full of bums to the Eastern Conference Finals against what I think is the best team in the East, in the Boston Celtics.
And let's be fair, you're right. They are full of bums.
Outside of Kevin Love, who can show up on certain nights, but there's nobody else on this team that's worth really anything. But really, the Cavaliers don't have one starter. Name one team that Tristan Thompson would start on that's not the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean, any of the really bad teams, but a playoff caliber team, none. And he wasn't starting until they needed somebody to defend Al Horford. George Hill is an aging point guard that was supposed to be the backup and is starting. J.R. Smith
is never a starter. Should never ever
belong
be a starter.
As a starter in the NBA.
So it's LeBron James.
Kyle Korver hasn't been a starter since 6 years ago. Larry Nance doesn't deserve to be a starter. Jordan Clarkson, not on this team. Calderon, no. Jeff Green, no. Zizic, no. Rodney Hood, who hasn't played because he doesn't want to play, no. No, you're right. It's a bad team.
Name the other miracles. You know, there's Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Name the other ones. They were okay singers, but none of them were even close to Smokey Robinson. That's what this team is, man. It's LeBron James writing all the songs, making all the music for the Cavaliers, and then there's a bunch of background singers that are mostly off pitch.
Well,
nights.
So let me. I don't want to talk about the game too much outside of just what we did there, but let me pose this question to you. And you brought it up when you walked in, and I was kind of already thinking along those lines. It's amazing how quickly our minds change, how the narrative changes, how we overreact after one game in a playoff series. The Celtics were up 2-0. They looked fairly dominant in those two games, especially after that big third quarter run of game two when it was close in the first half. And everyone went, well, LeBron's done. Where's LeBron going next year? Right? That was the conversation. It wasn't about the series. It wasn't about the East. It was about where's LeBron going next year? And that's fine. But now, all of a sudden, Cavs win big. Still down a game, by the way. But now, all of a sudden, everyone is talking about how the Cavs are going to come back to win the series. Why do we change our minds so quickly in these series? It's a seven-game series, which is the best way to decide between two teams who is the best. It gives you all sorts of wiggle room to have bad games, to have different types of performances, to figure out exactly who is a better team. And to me, one game like this for the Cavs doesn't change the fact to me that the Celtics are a much better team, that they have a much better head coach, and that they will figure this out and still win in 5 or 6, which was the original thought after they won the first two games at home. All of a sudden now it's, well, watch the Cavs win 4 straight and win the series and go to the NBA Finals again. We just talked about it. Who else on the team besides LeBron and half of Kevin Love is going to be able to do this consistently? Yeah, nobody.
And this is one of those things, I think everybody was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, people, it was a foregone conclusion LeBron was, after sweeping Toronto the way they did, they were going to go into Boston and they were going to handle them and move on to the conference finals. So there are a lot of haters that with the minute that he lost that first game, oh, this is your king. All the memes and everything came out and, you know, people, they really mistake, you know, his greatness. Because let's just be real, man, it's LeBron versus everybody else. You know, he's the best team in the Eastern Conference, you know, kind of all his own. And everybody was ready for him to lose. And you thought for sure it was going to happen. So when they were up 2-0, oh, look at LeBron. All the haters came out. But then with the minute they won the first game, all the lovers came out and was like, oh, what are you talking about? It's just two sides that are playing the entire time. So it seems like, I don't know, man. This is a weird dynamic with LeBron. And he's the only dude I've ever seen this happen with. You know what I mean? As far as this love-hate type thing.
Yeah.
I've never, like, Kobe, most people just hated Kobe.
Yes.
It was kind of one of those things. Like, you know, everybody, Jordan, everybody revered him. Everybody kind of loved him, and there was no real argument there. LeBron is the first dude that's like, you're really, like, on either side of the fence.
He's polarizing. He's not polarizing in a way that makes any sense. Because when people are polarizing, generally, they are very, very outspoken in their opinion of something or of many things. And half the people agree, half the people disagree. They're super polarizing, right? Or their personality is a type that aggravates some people, right? Like, not that this person's polarizing, but to me, I don't like Russell Wilson because I hate his personality. Like, it really bothers me. But
it's not, it doesn't feel genuine.
Exactly. But that's a me thing. I want people to be genuine with me. That's kind of like my thing. But with LeBron, it's not that. Some people hate LeBron's personality, right? Some people hate the fact that he's reading The Godfather, but is he really reading The Godfather? Some people hate the way that he holds himself in the press conferences and how he talks outside of his locker. Some people love that he is all over social media and is an active social media player. Some people love the fact that he coaches his own team and gets coaches fired because he's that good of a player that he can do that. So he's polarizing for basically every single thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that about him that everyone's like, yeah, I like LeBron for that, or I hate LeBron for that. Everything he does is polarizing. I don't think we've seen a player, I'll think about it when you counterpoint, I don't think we've seen a player like this in terms of how polarizing they are for literally everything they've done.
And the other thing we'll say about LeBron is every, excuse me, geez, every great player, for the most part, that's won a championship has had a great coach behind them. Think we can go through the through all the history from Tom Jonovich with the Rockets and obviously Pat Riley with the Lakers and with the Heat and all those. Man, who's been LeBron's great coach? Like, he made Eric Spoelstra an awesome coach. Let's just go ahead and be real.
That was his best coach.
That was his. Eric Spoelstra was his best
coach. Because Spoelstra is still a good coach.
It's still a good coach. But having LeBron on your team and D Wade, and yeah, that definitely helped. But man, Mike Brown was the coach of the year. Blatt won like 60 games like that first year, and then he was fired when they were number one in the East like during before the All-Star break. Tyronn Lue. Like, he elevates coaches. It's never been the other way around to where a great coach takes a good player, and says, man, you're going to be a great player. Kobe is lucky enough to have Phil. He had Phil. Without Phil for, what, 5 seasons, he won nothing. Got him for another 5, what do you know? He's got 5 rings out of it. So who's been LeBron's motivator? He's had to be the one to elevate the coaches.
The pressure's been his motivator, probably.
Which is why, I mean, who's Mike Brown coaching right now? He's an assistant somewhere, not a head coach.
But the Warriors, right?
Yeah, he's an assistant there. You know, where's David Blatt?
Israel again?
The only one with the job still is, like you said, Spoelstra, is because he's at least a good coach.
Yes.
An okay coach. But did he elevate LeBron? Absolutely not.
Well, did he?
No.
Maybe.
No. It was the second year when LeBron decided, all right, man, I'm going to do the scoring and the passing. D-Wade, you just kind of score for me. That's the way they decided to do that. Instead of him deferring, he took more of the responsibility. I don't know how much Eric Spoelstra had to do with that.
I want to give him a little bit more credit. I feel like he took, obviously, an amazing team that was built to win. But remember how they started that first year? They were just like this amalgamation of parts that weren't working very well. And then all of a sudden, they turned it completely on. And I want to give Spoelstra some credit for that.
Spoelstra's not a bad coach.
I think he figured out how to make all those pieces work together. And if you think back to the Heat days, I don't remember as many issues between Coach and LeBron than I do in every other one of his stops.
Do you remember LeBron bumping him and that whole, you know, there was some beef. But, I mean, so I look at this team that LeBron has right now and far less talented than anything he had to work with in Miami. Yet and still, here he is 3 games away from going back to the NBA Finals for an 8th straight year. So, like, Eric Spoelstra, yeah, good coach, but he's been there without you with subpar coaches for the past going on 4 years now. So, and Eric Spoelstra hasn't been out of the first round since then. Didn't make the playoffs the next year. Like, so,
he's made the playoffs with some pretty average teams.
No, he has, but also at the bottom of the East. Like, that 8th seed, which is incredibly attainable to whomever is the least terrible at that point.
Look at you just hating on Spoelstra.
How many times did I say Spoelstra is a good coach?
I'm kidding.
But good coach makes things happen with subpar talent like Brad Stevens is doing.
I'm kidding. But yeah, so that's how the narrative changed with this series so quickly. For me, it's still the Celtics series. They're still a better team. They still have a better group of players than the Cavs do. And Terry Rozier said after the game that it was a wake-up call for them that they can't get too comfortable after going up 2-0 against a team like Cleveland with LeBron. If that's true, if that wasn't just player speak, if that's true, then expect the Celtics to win game 4 because they've played much better than the Cavs as a whole. And don't expect the Cavs to shoot 50% from 3, 17 of 34 again. It's probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
So anyway, I'm going to stay on the clock again, Jesse. Coming up next, the Warriors Rockets series game 3 is today right here on The Fan. Game 1, it was over. The Warriors are going back to the finals, baby. Game 2, narrative changed again. We'll discuss next here on Sports Sunday. Here's Jesse with Sports Center.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All Couple of texts from the last segment before we move forward. When LeBron plays like magic, he's great. When he tries to do it all like Westbrook, he's doing too much and loses. This is from Jay Money, RP1. LeBron picks his teams and coaches. Got to stop making excuses for him. He's playing GM also.
True. True.
And I think the problem is
Dame is playing GM.
I think the problem for LeBron is that when he plays like magic and he builds a bad team, he's going to lose most of the time. Because if he's passing the ball to his teammates, they're not good enough to be consistent enough to win those games.
Unfortunately, there's no James Worthy or Byron Scott on the other end to make some plays happen after Magic gets him the ball. So that's the big issue with being Magic Johnson, is the fact that you have to carry those other guys, you know, to make sure you can do stuff. But those other guys are talented. J.R. Smith is not Byron Scott. So you can't be Magic Johnson. He's got to be Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and have that killer instinct. Otherwise, they have no chance with that roster.
Well, is this the best that he can get? Has he kind of cornered himself? Because every time he's played with an all-star, it's been like, you have to relegate yourself to this role. You can't be yourself. You have to be my puppet. And then the next thing you know, this is the cast that he has coming around him, because they're like, oh, well, I like they're talking about going and playing in Philly, and how that's not a good fit, because why would Ben Simmons want to play with LeBron? And that makes sense.
But you win. Like, I'm looking at Kyrie Irving and saying, bro, you were nowhere near the playoffs. Like, I'm not talking about just, oh, I just missed it by a couple games. Like, you're 30 games away from being anywhere near a playoff team. You got LeBron, and in three seasons, you went to the finals every year, and you got a ring out of one of them. Kyrie's now in a situation where Boston is better without you. Like, when you come now, the question is, Kyrie comes back, how does this work now? Because Gordon Hayward is easy to work back into that roster. Gordon Hayward does a little everything. He defends, he rebounds, he can hit the jumper. He can do everything. Kyrie's does nothing for you but score. You're in a situation where you're up 2-1 on the best player or the best team in basketball, LeBron James. Man, do you really need Kyrie? Like, I mean, I'm looking at that right now. Like, that's an issue. So Kyrie made himself put himself in a terrible situation, because if he's on Cleveland, well, they beat them. They beat Boston.
Well, the way I look at it with that argument is, I feel like the guard position player doesn't have to sacrifice as much as the big position player in these big threes that we've talked about. Like, Dwayne Wade, what did Dwayne Wade truly sacrifice in those? He was still able to play like Dwayne Wade. He was still driving all the time, dominating the game from the guard position. No,
Chris Bosh had to sacrifice.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying is the big had to sacrifice, because LeBron does both. But when he goes inside, Chris Bosh has to go outside and be a shooter, right? So he became corner three Chris Bosh. With Kyrie and Kevin Love, Kyrie wasn't exactly the same, but he was still able to do a lot of what he's good at. Kevin Love was relegated to corner three shooter. Now, without Kyrie, Kevin Love gets to do a little bit more, but he's still not the same player, because LeBron dominates so much attention inside. I think if you're going to play with LeBron, you need to get him a great guard and then leave him to be the great big, because he just makes that third player essentially a useless shooter.
Yes.
And so if he wants to win and build a team, I know you need big threes and big fours now if you're the Warriors, but I think if he wants to win and have a more effective team, he shouldn't try to I'm talking like he's the GM, because he probably is. He shouldn't try to force the team to get a third big player who's a big. He should just settle to play like him and Kyrie together, and then use that money to get better players around them as a whole. I think that would have been better than putting Kevin Love in the corner and having him get all pissy and hate everything and all that kind of stuff.
If they had just kept Wiggins, then this wouldn't have been a problem at all. Have two wing
players. I thought that was the stupidest trade they could have made.
It was a silly trade. You know, you could have let him develop, and right now, Andrew Wiggins' little 19 points that he's putting up in Minnesota.
He's not as good as we thought he would be, but he's still solid.
He's a good third option to a team right now.
He was the number one pick, though.
Yeah, and it's a draft. It's a draft. You have no idea what you're going to get. It's a lottery pick, and that's exactly what they call it. You know, so you could hit big. You could lose all your money. But the fact is, he's still a starter, which is one of those things that Cleveland does not have outside of LeBron James. Clearly, you put Wiggins on any team in the league, and he is a starter instantly. You can't say that about anybody that's on LeBron's roster now.
Except for Kevin Love.
Except for Kevin Love.
And we he already kind of killed Kevin Love's confidence the last few years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing.
That's what he does. If you're
Bosch big, was never able to be the same again. I don't think Love will ever be the same again. Like, I honestly, there's certain players that just go to LeBron and they die.
Now they're
like,
good.
They win championships, but they die. Like, their career kind of sucks.
Yeah, but they won championships. That's all. No, that
but
really
if you're
matters,
Kyrie, you ain't got to worry about that. You were going to win. Like, you were going to be in a situation to win now. If you played the Warriors, probably not.
And it was eventually going to be your team.
And it was going to, and you knew that, but you didn't want to wait and you want to be your own star. And now you even played since the All-Star break and your team is winning without you in the playoffs and you sit on the sideline. You're looking kind of sad. There are certain times you look at Kyrie and look at his team success and how could you not be a little upset?
The other text I wanted to get to, the unique thing with LeBron's haters is haters usually admit it. Or usually admit a great player is great, but people like Bayless, etc., act like LeBron's faults make him only okay. I hated Kobe, but his numbers were great. I admit it. LeBron haters act like it's all an illusion. He travels in every play. Nothing he does is real enough. I agree with that. I think what it is LeBron fatigue. I think in the era that we're in right now, where social media and the 24-hour news cycle and all that kind of stuff, and the fact that the NBA is the way it is, where only a couple of teams have a chance to win it every year, you're focusing so hard on LeBron and Steph and KD, et cetera, every single year that you get fatigue. And let's not pretend like for the last 12 years we haven't been focusing 100% on LeBron in the NBA. This is – when did he come up? 2004?
Three.
So what is that, 15 years now?
Mm-hmm.
It's been 17 years, because remember, we started when he was in high school and he was on SI. 17 years we've been focusing on LeBron. I think all the LeBron hate and not wanting to admit that he's good is LeBron fatigue. Because what you're doing internally as a person, you're saying, this player's great, but I'm so sick of watching him play every single night on TV. I don't want him to win another title. I'm tired of it. And it's like, of course you know he's great, but you want to diminish it because you don't want to have to think about it so much. So I think naturally you're just like, well, he's not as good as everyone says he is.
Well, that's the definition of hate.
Of course he is.
And that's the definition of hate. You know all the good things, but yet you want to focus on the bad. Like, for instance, oh, man, James Harden, he flops when he gets to the – who cares, man? He gets to the free throw line 10 times. Like, if he was a Blazer, you wouldn't care. You know, so we love who we love. We hate who we hate, and that's just kind of the way it's I guess it's human nature, but being a hater is this not cool, you know? Come on, man. Like, and that's what the trolling, man, that's giving haters the biggest voice. All of a sudden you can say whatever you kind of want to now. So that's what trolls are. They're absolute haters. Like, it's okay to dislike something. I'm good with the Warriors losing. I put on my Facebook the other day, man, I get great pleasure in watching them get smacked like this. Like, it's just, we know the Warriors are a great team and all those things. Much like LeBron fatigue, I just don't want to see this team with Kevin Durant win anymore. Like, it's become kind of frustrating and boring. So I would like somebody else to win. So
I agree.
It's not hate. Like, I don't hate Steph Curry. I don't hope anybody gets hurt.
You and hate after KD after what he did.
I can't stand that. I thought it was a weak move, but, you know, that's what it is. I mean, that's if that's hate, then, you know, whatever. He's still awesome. He's still great. And he's still the second best player in the world. Like, I'll never not say that.
Yeah.
Like, him going there doesn't make him not any of those things. It just makes him weak.
All right. Well, coming up next, let's talk about that series. KD has been the only solid positive for the Warriors so far. He's been
second best player in the world.
He's been unstoppable. But the series is tied at one. The narrative, as we talked about last segment, has shifted completely again. Why and what do you think is actually the true narrative and what's going to happen? That's next here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Last segment here of the first hour on Sports Sunday.
Last segment already?
Of the first hour.
Jeez.
Yes.
Oh, we are really moving today, huh?
Flying by? Feels like a flying by to you?
It does, man. I had no idea. I know it was 9:45 already.
Yeah. Well, next hour coming up, we will do Hate It or Love It, of course. That is at 10:30. We will talk the legalized sports gambling. I think this is a really interesting topic that has all sorts of little tentacles off of it. One of which just came across on my Twitter, which I will relay to you. It's an interesting argument that many people are making.
All right.
So that's coming up next hour. And that'll probably be it next hour, but text your thoughts to the fan text on at 55305. And then, of course, you can also tweet at 1080 the fan, at Mike Lynch 27 is me. Rashad's at TaylorMade503, and Jesse, our producer, is at Jesse Osman, A-S-Z-M-A-N. But we're talking some NBA playoffs here in the changing narratives before we switch gears. Just spent time talking about LeBron and the Celtics and want to flip over to the Western Conference Finals, which does have Game 3 on the fan today. 5 o'clock, I believe, is when the tip is. So 4:30 is going to be when the coverage starts here on the fan. Series is tied at 1. After Game 1 in the series, the Warriors won big. It never really felt like it was in doubt, and everyone went, well, here's the series we all wanted. This is our NBA Finals, and now it's going to be a bad series, which I will admit I was guilty of. I felt the same way. I saw the Warriors perform the way they did, and I was like, damn, Steph didn't even hit more than 1-3, and you're telling me they won by that much? Well, Game 2 comes out. Game 2 happens, and Houston just smokes them, blows them out. Knocks him out of the park. And Steph only hits 1-3 again. And you got guys like Eric Gordon just going off the bench. Harden's playing well, of course. Capella kind of shows up in that game. And the only one who shows up for the Warriors is KD, who's been great these first two games of the series. And now, like we talked about, everyone's overreacting again. The narrative changed again. What was the narrative before the series started? We said these are the two best teams in the NBA. This is essentially our NBA Finals because whoever either of these teams plays in the East is gonna win in the finals. This is going to go 6 or 7 games. This is going to be a competitive series. Why do we let ourselves get tricked like this? Why do we let ourselves go, well, the Warriors are gonna blow out now, and now it's like, well, the Rockets are gonna blow out? No. This is exactly kind of what we expected, right?
Yeah, this is exactly
juggernaut teams in the West going at it and fighting each other to the death.
Yeah, and sometimes not all those games are going to be super competitive. Like in the playoffs, especially when you got two good teams, you're going to see a blowout. You're going to see one blowout per team in the game. This series is probably going to go 6, maybe 7 games. These were the two blowout games. I assume that moving forward, we're going to see a lot tighter basketball. I think tonight might go a little more kind of like Game 1 went for the Warriors. They play differently when they're at home. They just they really get behind that crowd. Steph is just a different dude when he's at home as opposed to when he's on the road. So Klay Thompson all of a sudden looks like he's, you know, that guy again. But yeah, everybody overreacts because that's the thing to do. We live in such a reactionary world. And I think Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those things is giving people an instant you can have an opinion as fast as you want to. And so sometimes all those opinions shouldn't just come out with those right away. But yeah, it just kind of, that's what people do. So the Warriors win Game 1. Oh, this is the way it's about to go. They're about to get blown out. And it was crazy because the one thing we've been hearing all year about the Rockets, their best team, they're the best team in the West at the point. I mean, really outside of the Warriors, they move the ball really well. That's what they do. You have two point guards that run the pick and roll incredibly well. And they lost Game 1, and then it was, oh, well, James Harden is the most over-dribbled point guard in the league, or over-dribbled guard in the league. He's dribbled 500 more times than LeBron. I was like, all they do is isolation. It's like, that's all they do is isolation? Like, these are two guards that both average 8 assists. Like, clearly isolation isn't all that they're able to do, but that's what the narrative is for that game. So as soon as you lose it, man, is Steph hurt? Is his knee bad? No, Klay Thompson's just all of a sudden playing really well over these past. He's found his groove in the playoffs, you know? So people just react, but about the wrong stuff, I feel like, man. Like, that's the one when you win a game, nobody said anything about Steph's knee. Nobody said anything about him not playing well. They lost the game. Is he really 100%? Sources say, oh, now sources are saying stuff. Like, it's craziness, man. Can't listen to everything.
I think Colin kind of touched on this on Thursday morning, and it was something I was instantly thinking about while the game was going on, and that was, I think ever since they had the most wins, you know, in a regular season, they realized how much they need to pick their spots, save their energy when you're making a run all the way to the finals. That's another quarter season onto your season. That's a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
And so you realize that, and this team since then has been very good about picking its spots. And it just screamed to me of a team that, even though Kevin Durant was having his night, that they kind of were like, we did what we came here to do. We got one.
We got one.
We got one. And that's it. And the narrative shouldn't change because of that, because they're like, conserve energy. We'll be ready to go here in 4 days when we have all this rest.
There was something telling at the end of that game, like with like 5 minutes left, the Rockets are up like, at this point, they're up 30 or something like that. And Harden, Paul, all the starters are still in the game. Man, everybody from Golden State was on the bench. Remember, Steve Kerr is from the school of Popovich. And Popovich in the playoffs, my team is getting blown out in game four. Hey, man, that's a wrap. You guys come sit down. We lost this one. Like, we're not even going to try to – I'm not going to put my starters out there to expel all this energy for a game that we're not going to win. Game is over. Bench guys, go in there and get your minutes. And that's exactly what Steve Kerr did with, like, 7-8 minutes left in the game. Like, all the starters on the bench. He knew that this game is over. There's no point in us trying to do that. So, yes, the Rockets blew them out by 30, but just – or, you know, 22. It should have been 30. But don't think that Lightning is going to strike twice, especially when you're playing in – is it Oracle?
That's a good point. I didn't even consider that even at this point, they're still conserving energy because they know, or at least they're confident enough in themselves that they know that they should win this series. Mm-hmm. They did get that win in Houston that they needed. If they win both at Oracle, then they've got home court firmly in their favor, and they could even lose game five in Houston and still feel confident about winning the series. And I guess it is kind of like the school of Popovich. Now, I'm trying to think back. I don't have the best recall for NBA playoff series, but did the Spurs in their run have games like this where Absolutely. They just got smoked?
Was it 2005 finals with the Detroit Pistons and the Spurs? Went seven games, and it was back-to-back, man. Close game, blowout, you know, close game. That's just the kind of the way it went. And so, yes, the Spurs have definitely been blown out. And it was right around that time, middle of the third quarter, Popovich said, you know what? Game's over, guys. Come sit on the bench. Not a problem. I'm okay. Like, a lot of times when Popovich was getting blown out by the Lakers and stuff, you know what, guys? It's a wrap. You know, come on, sit down, because this isn't working right now. There's no point in you guys going out there and trying to run up and down the court, possibly, you know, hurt yourself, trying to put out all this energy to win a game that we're too far behind in.
Maybe too, that is also a strategy of motivation, saying, look, you suck right now.
Look what's happening to you.
I'm benching you because you suck right now. It's not just the game is over and I'm going to rest you. It's you deserve this.
And I want you to see really? It. And I want you to see it. I want you. And you ever notice why those guys are on the bench? They look so sad. And that's my thing for the Warriors. Like, I just, they've been on top for a minute, but I think they kind of, a lot of Warriors fans in general kind of forgot who they were and where they kind of came from. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were a laughing stock in the NBA for over 20 years, over 25 years, you know, up until Run TMC was a long time ago. And up until then, or up until what, 2015, like, they were kind of a joke for the most part. So for them to lose like that and just watch Klay Thompson's face and Steph Curry, who I think is a great player, but probably the most arrogant player in the league. Like, if LeBron did,
he is pretty arrogant.
If LeBron or James Harden or anybody did what Curry did as far as how he shoots and stuff like that, would
shimmy and
the look at the stare at the rim and stuff like
I'll give my wife credit for this. She hated Steph Curry year one of this run. When the first year they were good, she goes, this guy is a jerk. And everyone was like, oh my God, Steph, he's the best. Look at his shooting. We've never seen it before. And she was like, this guy sucks. I hate
it. It is tight, like the way.
And she got it immediately. And now everyone's starting to follow suit with the Steph's an arrogant
it's
shooter.
Just, I mean, because you know, if it was a player that we're just kind of lukewarm about, you know, like we know he's good, but we don't really like him, you know, it'd be like, oh, look at, he's the biggest jerk in the world. Look at the arrogance there. But because we kind of like Steph and he doesn't look really threatening and things like that, yeah, it's easier to swallow.
You win a unanimous MVP and not be arrogant.
It was okay. Before that.
Okay. I know, before but that. I mean, let's just face it. The guy's been
okay,
like,
Jesse, I will do that.
I mean,
seriously, why? Just go about your business, man. You because don't need to be arrogant.
That's the way all these guys, like LeBron's not arrogant. KD's not arrogant.
But that being said,
some of the stories about LeBron are hilarious.
On the floor, it's one of those things. I go back to the Mario Chalmers thing. Him and LeBron get into it, and then the next time they're on the bench, you see LeBron look over and say, "Rio, my bad, man. I'm sorry about that." Like, that's, call it arrogant, call it whatever you want to, but that's somebody that's aware enough to say, "Hey, man, my fault, bro. I'm sorry I did that to you right there in front of everybody." Whatever the case is, man. Steph is coming up, pulling up half court, staring at the ball as it goes in the rim, and kind of does his little shimmy backwards or throw 3 points up in the air. It's like, bro, like if that was James Harden, people hate the Cook thing. They couldn't stand it. Oh my God, just play basketball. Like if
arrogance breeds greatness, and there's a reason why all of these guys have so much hate thrown their way. There's a reason why the beard gets so much hate thrown his way. I mean, arrogance breeds greatness. There's
not necessarily
a reason you're great.
Duncan was never arrogant, and he's one of the greatest centers of all time.
No, and a lot of people forget about Tim Duncan too. When you think about, he is. He's one of the greatest players to ever play.
My 1A, 1B player of all time.
Yeah. Not a lot of people talk about Tim Duncan. Why? Because he's the, just kind of go around about your business.
I can do a whole show on Tim Duncan.
That's the good thing about Tim Duncan.
Yeah, it is.
You don't need to be talked about. Just go about your business. Be one of the greatest of all time.
He was comfy being in a small market.
You know why he doesn't talk? He's not talked about. Is because it's not an argument. That's why when you talk about the best at that position, it's not an argument. You know who the best power forward or possibly best big is. It's Tim Duncan. It could be KG and it could be Dirk and it could be it's Tim Duncan. And that's of all the positions that there are, you can argue best two guard with Kobe and Jordan. Most people are going to take Jordan, but you can make an argument for it. Tim Duncan's the one position at any one of those. You're like, no, it's Tim Duncan, bro. Best point guard could be Magic, could be this. No, it's Tim Duncan.
So the narrative for me for Rockets Warriors, it's a great series. It's the two best teams in the NBA. We are getting what we wanted.
Absolutely.
Let's not write it off before it's over. Let's enjoy what will likely be a very good 6-7 game series between these two teams. I still think the Warriors will win it, which is what I've always thought. But let's enjoy it while we have it. And don't expect Steph to hit 1-3 tonight.
Oh, no. Expect him to get – he plays different at Oracle. This team plays different at Oracle. The crowd is incredibly loud. And, just don't let them go on a run to end quarters, man. That's where the Warriors shine.
All right. Coming up next, we will discuss the legalization of sports gambling.
Woo!
In the U.S. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.